taken the NBA by storm. For the first time, the NBA champion resides in Oklahoma City. The storybook season is complete.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, this is a little bit off the map.
Oh, you think?
But did you look at your Shapiro emails today?
Did I look at my Jimmy Shapiro from betonline.ag? You know what? I saw them, and they gone.
Gone, okay.
They got D to the leaded.
Good, because I'd actually potentially like to play a little game with you. I think there's some interesting stuff hidden in the Shapiro emails.
I would love to, because one of them was like, ooh, after the KD trade, the NBA odds have shifted.
That's the one.
And I looked at it, and I was like, you know what, Jimmy? I know you, Jimmy, and I love you. And actually, he's the one, he's the guy who actually got me Jim Brown, rest in peace.
What do you mean he got him for you?
I was producing for another show on another station.
Yes.
And, you know, as you remember from like Radio Row, you have these people who want to offer you guests. And a guy like Jimmy Shapiro, he'll offer you a guest like Jim Brown. And it's like, yeah, I'll take Jim Brown. And he's like, well, I need you to take Jim Frown, who is an accountant for blah, blah, blah.
Jim Frown.
And also Jim Chown.
Right.
And then, you know, if you take Jim Frown and Jim Chown, I'll get you Jim Brown.
Jim Brown.
It's like, okay. Yeah. So you take Chown, you take Frown, and in walks Jim Brown into the gigantic room, Radio Row. This was in Dallas during the snowstorm.
Okay.
And he walks in, and everyone's like running at Jim Brown, and he walks right up to our table, and I stand up, and I shake his hand, and his hand is like seven of my hands.
Yep.
And he almost breaks my hand, and he's like, I'm Jim Brown, I'm here to join, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay.
Are you Dibs?
Yeah. Like, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we're running late. We got Cars for Kids on right now. It's going to be about 4 minutes. And so I had to put them on ice. And,
oh, God.
You know, meanwhile, it's like, you know, traffic and other nonsense. And then he comes on, but that's Jimmy Shapiro.
Jimmy Shapiro.
Anyway.
All right. Well,
more story than you wanted.
No,
but
no, it was fine. I mean, come on. It's June. You take as long as you want. No, Grandy, if you would, a little game show music, please, because I wonder where you would place the Golden State Warriors in the new NBA title odds for next year. So here's how we'll do it. First of all, I wonder, there are four teams.
How many?
With four single-digit odds to win the title next year. A, I want to know if you can name those four. But then, beyond that, I'd like to know if you can name all of the teams that have better title odds than the Golden State Warriors. There are 10 of them. 10 teams.
10?
10, says Vegas. 10 teams with better odds to win the title next year than the Golden State Warriors. Would you like to give it a whirl?
I would love to.
All right. Who do you think's the title favorite next year?
Probably the Thunder, because that's what
correct.
We do, right?
Yeah. Who do you think is the clear-cut second favorite?
A clear-cut second favorite?
Well, I just say, like, they're not tied with anybody. They are the second favorite to win the title.
I would say Cleveland? New York?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. Although you did just name three of the top four. Thunder, Cavs and Knicks both at 9-1. Someone else is at 8-1. Someone else is at 8-1.
Orlando?
Come on, man.
Oh, he's running cold.
You gotta get the flavor of the moment. It's the Houston Rockets. Houston Rockets are now the second favorite to win this sucker.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's your top four. Thunder, Rockets, Cavs, Knicks. There are six other teams with better title odds than the Warriors. Can you name them, and I'll give you one strike?
Oh, boy.
Right.
Well, Denver's got to be one of them. Minnesota's got to be one. I guess Boston, even without Tatum.
Very good.
Man.
That's three. There are three more.
Three more?
Three more.
The Clippers?
Sorry. There's your strike.
I'm sorry.
There's your strike. The Clippers right behind the Warriors, actually.
Oh, boy.
Sitting there in the 12 hole. The Warriors are in the 11 hole. You got three more, but you cannot have any more strikes.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's risky. It's so tough. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know where I would go. The Pacers, I suppose.
That is correct. That
even
is
without
correct.
Tyrese Halliburton.
Well. You saw that email. Well, that email came in yesterday. I don't know what hour it came in.
Gotcha.
I don't know if it was pre or post Halliburton injury.
Looking at a different source, the Pacers are way, way, way down.
Yeah, they're way, way, way down. Okay, but at this hour.
Okay.
The Pacers were still in there.
Man.
All right. There are two others, though, that are unaffected by last night.
I mean, Dallas, they're getting Cooper Flagg. He's pretty awesome.
Sorry, the Dallas Mavericks are coming in at 33-1. We'd like to thank you for playing our game. We do have a copy of the home version.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, I like that on my way out.
We have lovely parting gifts for you. Go over here and see either Mark or Lucas.
I used to get Rice-A-Roni as a parting gift.
Probably get a bobblehead or something there in the other room. Some book that somebody wrote.
I'll give you my trophy.
Yeah, Grandy will give you last year's trophy.
Can you take your picture out of here, please?
No, that's specifically to annoy Shasky, so I'm leaving it.
Okay. All right. In that case, I'll allow it.
Yeah, if it's
give yourself a ding.
If it's to annoy one of the other shows, that's totally fine by us.
And it apparently bothers me less than it bothers him, so we'll keep it.
All right, one of the other two, the Los Angeles Lakers are much better odds right now than the Golden State Warriors.
The Lakers.
And then this one surprises me. And I can, again, these odds were post-Kevin Durant trade. The only reason I can think of this team being ahead of the Warriors is because they were thinking that this team was going to get Kevin Durant, but this team did not get Kevin Durant. The San Antonio Spurs.
Ahead of the Warriors?
Ahead of the Warriors. In title odds, do they think they're getting Giannis or something? I mean,
Wemby and Fox,
yeah, I guess a good player.
And Castle, yeah.
Yeah, got good players.
Good little team.
But, like, they're not ready to go win a ring. They're babies. They're little wee babies.
Right.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
But that's the current state of the title odds affairs with, yes, the Indiana Pacers now updating, dropping out of that, which means that the Warriors are in the 10 position.
Okay.
Which is, I don't know what to think of that. That's not, it's not terribly optimistic.
No, but if you think about this year and where they wound up essentially in a tie for fifth, right? Because they were one of four teams to win a round and then lose. So they were in the final eight. So
tied for not in the final four, yes.
Right, so tied for fifth, T5, and essentially so they were, you know, T5 or they were eighth, whatever you want to put it. And so next year they're 10th, which would indicate that their odds are, you know, less than they would be this year. And if you want to like extrapolate that out, if you have the 10th best odds, that would mean that you would make the playoffs and lose in the first round. And if I gave you the same prop that I gave you before.
Are we doing this?
No, we're not doing it officially, but I asked you at least 15 times. Over under Warriors playoff wins at 4.5, and you were under, trade for Jimmy. It looks like it's working, and you went over, and they went over. They won five playoff games.
A half game.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
They won five. Yep. And if I was going to give you that same prop right now, and again, we don't know about the draft, and the Warriors are picking in the second round on Thursday, and we don't know about free agency and Kuminga and all the rest of it, but.
Yeah.
Right now, your gut on the Warriors, if I gave you over under 4.5 wins in the playoffs next year, what would you say, Mark?
Under.
Under 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. And that hurts me because you're an optimistic guy.
I know, but I went under all year last year until I changed and went over.
And you were wrong until you changed.
Yeah, and I was
that was wrong.
Well, and then but at least I changed, and then I got it right. But it was by a half game, and so it was close. And in the end, actually, it should be credit to you because you set the number right where it needed to be.
The number was amazing.
Yeah, it was
numbers
amazing.
Numbers are numbers, and that number was amazing.
And it would have been better, though, if Steph hadn't gotten hurt. I'm confident they would have at least won another game or two. I don't know if they would have moved on. My only answer to that, though, right now, we're sitting here in a moment where the Warriors, I don't know what they're going to do roster-wise. So that's number one. And number two is the Western Conference. I think I could argue with this Durant trade, even though he went from West to West, the West got better because one of their good teams got even better. So now that becomes yet another sort of top four candidate. And, you know, we talk about their title odds. That's bringing Eastern Conference teams in as well. I think the East, boy, you want to talk about doldrums. You think the West is better than the East now. Wait till next year with no Tatum, no Halliburton, and no Lillard, potentially no Giannis. I don't know where he's going to end up, if he'll stay in the East, if he'll stay with the Bucks, whatever. I know that Desmond Bane went over there and people are digging Orlando. That's fine, but all of these teams in the West, from OKC to Houston to the Lakers to the Wolves to the Nuggets, and then the Clippers, and then the young up-and-coming teams like the Spurs.
And the Mavs, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only reason I would say that in this moment. In this moment, like, you're praying for such health, and then even if you get it, it's still going to be really hard. So that's why I'd say that today.
Yep. Okay.
Reserve the right to change my mind.
Of course, and you can. I won't hold you to it.
And thank you.
You know, the playoffs aren't for another, I don't know, 10 months.
Yeah, they're so, ways away.
Yeah, we got time.
We got a whole Super Bowl champion to crown first.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
All right. Are you planning a road trip? I hope so for your summer. If it's Tahoe, Napa, down the coast, or wherever, make your first stop. Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Drive in, stay in your car, and be done. In about 15 minutes, your ride will be ready before you even pack the snacks. Visit BayAreaOilChange.com for coupons. Speaking of the Warriors offseason, when do you hear what Mike Dunleavy had to say when he was asked about the Warriors' plans? He immediately jumped to the name that, of course, around everything revolves, this name. So that's all coming up next. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibs.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, there he is. Question is it about to be there he goes?
Oh, no, he's here. He's him. He's here. He's here.
He's here?
He'll be here, yes. Huh. I would put it at, I mean, honestly, if I look at it
put a percentage on it.
Like, for November 1st, Jonathan Kuminga, hi.
Opening night in a Warrior uniform.
Yeah, I would say it's 93% yes. Okay. 7% no.
Hmm.
And the 7% is some other team comes in and says, you know what, JK, we're going to give you kabam, kaboo.
Kaboo.
We're going to give you a kaboo deal. And the Warriors go, what?
Yeah, see, I don't.
You're gonna give him what?
I see another possibility out there.
Talk to me.
I don't foresee the kaboo. I don't think that's coming. I agree with you that'd be one way.
Kaboo.
But the kaboo coming means the Warriors essentially would be forced into letting him walk for nothing. And I don't believe the Warriors will do that at all. And I know you could say, well, maybe it'll be out of their hands. Well, I don't think that the Warriors are going to leave it out of their hands. And in fact, tucked into the comment I'm about to play for you from Mike Dunleavy is that answer. Let's play this for you, and then let's get into it. 888-957-9570 is the number. So let's see. Couple of things to let you hear. First of all, the draft is Wednesday. Listen to what he says happens right after the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways we can go. We've got some free agents that, you know, are priorities. We got to handle that. But some of that stuff may lean into trades and other things. I mean, obviously, we got wound up into a big deal last summer, multi-team trade. And so anytime you get into the free agent stuff and you start looking at exceptions and cap space and all these things, it lends itself to it. We'll be opportunistic. You know, I think with our cap and strategy group, those guys are really good. So we'll look at everything. It's hard to say right now, though, honestly, as far as like what's out there, what could happen. But we'll definitely be in the mix. I mean, I think we've shown a history of doing that.
Okay, we're definitely going to be in the mix.
Yep.
We've got some free agents. That could lead down the road of being involved in trade talks. I can't help but think he's mainly referring to Jonathan. And I know everybody's stuck on this whole sign and trade thing. If you were to sign and trade Kuminga, you're only going to get 50% back on the dollar. That's all true. But my sense in reading the possibilities that are out there, if Kuminga is involved in the deal, this is going to be a big deal. Meaning this is going to be like a bunch of teams and a lot of players and something that is fairly complex. So that to me is why I'm not going to say that the favorite isn't still him being here. But I do think there's a scenario outside of some team comes in with the caboo. I think there's a scenario outside of that that has the Warriors involving Jonathan Kuminga in some sort of a deal.
It's definitely possible. But for me, if you're going to make a move of any sort of like magnitude, you would have to involve Kuminga and another player, another salary and picks and, you know, a lot of other things if you want to bring back something that's really, you know, nice and shiny and sparkly. And I do think that if they made some deal, that's what that would be.
He was specifically asked about Jonathan as the Warriors head into the offseason. This is what he said about Jonathan's restricted free agency.
Yeah, so we can start with the finals ending last night. We can start pursuing that right now, leading up into free agency. And I think we're in a good spot with it, honestly. We have the ability to bring him back. He's restricted. You know, there'll be good dialogue. And I'd like to figure something out sooner than later. That'd be great. But I also acknowledge with restricted free agency, these things can drag out a little bit and take some time. But, you know, I think we feel pretty comfortable with who JK is as a player and what he can do for our organization. And, you know, we'll continue. You know, it's a main priority going into free agency.
Okay. That is our main priority going into free agency.
Yep.
Jonathan Kuminga. And I think it was Bobby Marks who a few weeks back said, this is the linchpin to everything that the Warriors are going to do. If they bring him back, that's your free agency. There you go.
That's it.
There's your acquisition.
There you go.
Yeah. And if not, then things can go 1,000 different directions. But I hear a guy that wants to do this quickly, and I also hear a guy that's open to this going a bunch of different directions. I get there that at the end, he's like, yep, we know exactly who he is, what he can do for our organization, but I hear a voice there that's open to this going a lot of different ways.
Yes, open, but I do think that when you start to think about JK as an asset, and forget the player, because I do think that the player himself is an asset. He's 22, he is diverse, he's developing, he's good if not great. He's not a superstar, he's not even a star yet, but he's a good to great player. So the player himself as an asset is greater than what his salary is right now. So I think about like what you could do as a Warrior team with Jonathan Kuminga. And if you sign him and then trade him, if it's a sign and trade, well, you're only getting 50 cents on the dollar right now. Yep. So if you sign him and then trade him in February, for example, well, now I believe you can get a lot more for him at that point, as opposed to what you can get for him right now in a sign and trade.
Maybe, but then again, never forget this. 50 cents on the dollar, these are mythical dollars. Right now, he only makes about $7 or $8 million.
Right.
If he's included in a deal and you're talking about $25 to $30 million, well, now you're getting back a player that's more in the $12 to $15 million range, which is twice what Kuminga's making now. All of this is about assessing who he is, what he's worth. I don't really know how to do that, especially in this particular market where it seems like teams are much, much more hesitant to roll out the big dollars. We'll see where that market goes. Dunleavy was asked, what are the benefits of getting things with Kuminga done early?
Just clarity, right? Roster clarity in terms of what else we need to add in free agency. Also, what we have to spend in terms of minimums, exceptions, those different types of things. So I think that's the sooner the better for everyone. His sake too, I would believe. But restricted free agency can be a little different. So we may have to be patient.
Okay. So obviously, I think he's twice referencing the idea that like we'd like to get this done early, but Jonathan might not. Jonathan might like to go find out what other teams are going to do, what kind of space they have. Do they miss out on someone and then it spins to Jonathan and that means millions of dollars for him? It could play that way.
Yeah.
So I know the Warriors want to do this quickly. I don't know if Jonathan does.
Right. I mean, especially if you're Jonathan, think about his, you know, standpoint, which is you're restricted, which means you have to get an offer and then the Warriors either match or they don't match. And if you're Jonathan, you're like, okay, let's see what the offers might be from the other 29. Because I know that this team last year, I wanted a certain amount of money and they said, no, thank you. And I played and I kind of played and then they DNP'd me. And I mean, I didn't really get to play until Steph got hurt. And then I played and I played well and I played awesome. But, you know, how do you feel about me, Warriors? Let's find out. Or, you know, is there another team out there who wants to give me a big boatload of money to let me go out there and really cook?
I want to get into this a little bit further. But before we do that, I just want to play this for all the Giannis folks out there. Is everybody ready? If you're a Giannis person, I want you to lean closer to your speakers.
Are we getting Giannis?
If you're a Giannis person, I just... ask the person next to you, shh, I'd like all the Giannis people to listen to Mike.
Only because just of our salary structure and the way it works with the amount of money you can use underneath the second apron, that probably restricts it more than anything for us in terms of pursuing the best roster we can. So I think we'll look at stuff. We'll look at players that we really like. It's just almost impossible for us to add players in the salary range of guys we were looking at last summer since we've added Jimmy. That would be the only limiter. But in terms of like finding talent, improving this team, you know, we're going to look under, you know, every rock to try and do that.
Okay. The quote was, it is almost impossible to add anybody who is making that kind of salary. And the reference he's making is $50 million. And Giannis makes more than $50 million.
Yep.
So the quote is almost impossible. I know the word almost is in there. So that's fun. And I know big time sports franchises do things like this, which is under promise and then try to maybe over deliver, right? We foresee Jordan Poole being on this team long term.
Right.
And 3 days later, he was a Wizard. So I'm not saying that they tapped out of any conversation. I just think that, that's an important premise as we go into the offseason. I don't think the Warriors are going to be involved with players that are making that kind of money. None of them.
No, and no team really can do that. And, you know, I made this list about 3 months ago of teams that have three players making $30 million or more per year going into next year, and the Warriors are not one of them. Boston's actually the only team that has four of them. Boston's got four players making $30-plus million a year. On this list is Houston and Phoenix. And well, they only swapped players who are both making $30 million next year, Jalen Green and Kevin Durant. But all these teams that are making that much money, there are 10 of them. 10 teams have three guys making $30 million or more per year. The Warriors aren't one of them. And I don't know if you could be one of these teams and really go about your business long term. And for me, long term for the Warriors is 2 years. You got two more years of Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond. Draymond's not making 30. You got Steph and Jimmy who are both in the top 10 in salary next year. And so you can't add another guy without getting rid of either Jimmy or Draymond or more.
So here's my question for you and for everybody listening, 888-957-957.
Okay.
When you hear Mike Dunleavy say, quote, Jonathan Kuminga is the main priority for us going into free agency, I just want to know, and by the way, we're not going to hold anybody to this answer. It's not even necessarily your opinion. I just want to know where your brain goes. When he says that, Jonathan Kuminga is the main priority for us to get figured out before we get into free agency, where does your brain go? Does your brain go to Jonathan Kuminga being on the bench and playing 25 to 30 minutes a night for the Warriors next year? Or does your brain go to Jonathan Kuminga plays for Utah this fall? Like, where, when you heard him say that,
yeah,
what did you think is going to happen with regard to this offseason? Jonathan Kuminga on the team or Jonathan Kuminga off the team. 888-957-9570.
Yeah, Kuminga on the team. And I do think that when you look at the landscape of the league right now, as it pertains to salary cap room and the teams that are out there who could potentially pay more than the Warriors want to pay, I don't think that there's a lot of those teams that are out there. And so I hear Mike Dunleavy say that, and you know, the priority is to, quote, figure out Jonathan Kuminga. For me, that means sit back and wait and see what the other offers will be. And I do believe that, you know, Dunleavy and the other people in the front office are realizing the financial landscape. And they also think that, you know, there probably won't be a ton of big time offers coming in for Kuminga. So if you're Dunleavy and the rest of the front office, you're going to sit back and wait. You're going to play the waiting game and see, you know, if any other offers come in that you would have to match or not match. And if there are no offers that come in that you have to match or not match, well, now you're in the catbird seat.
You are.
And now you can kind of dictate what you want to do with Jonathan Kuminga. Uh-huh. And I do think it's interesting where, you know, like with Jordan Poole, like you gave Jordan Poole the big extension and you had a full year before it kicked in. And during that year, he and a teammate allegedly got into a little bit of a confrontation, and he may or may not have been punched. And then after that year, you traded him, but you traded him with that big number attached to him. So I can't help but think about that with Kuminga, where, you know, you could sign him to, I don't know, let's just say 3 years and $100 million.
Okay.
For Kuminga. Okay. $33 million a year. Let's just pretend. That's more than you'll have to pay him, but yes. If you do attach that big of a number to him, then when you trade him, you get that much money back right. In player at the deadline.
I want you to play that out in your head, though. Like, if you stick a number on Jonathan, and then your hope, or at least your openness, is to deal him at the deadline, you got to do something there with him in the first half of the season that makes him attractive to people.
Like play him?
You cannot pay him $33 million and then have Steve Kerr come on Willard and Dibbs every week and just be like, I can't play him.
Yep.
Can't win with him. I don't know what to do, guys.
Let me tell you something. This guy is a ball player.
You know,
can't do it.
He wasn't talking about JK when he had that quote, just so you know. So, like, I don't know. I get what you're saying in theory,
yeah.
But in execution, that's challenging. All I can do, I'll go ahead, just for giggles, I'm going to go ahead and take the other side. And I'm going to say that right now.
For Schmitz and giggles?
For Schmitz and giggles.
Okay.
He's on one.
Yeah,
so sure. It works.
He's on
one. If you had done that to me 6 days ago, I'd have been like, get off my team. But now, yep,
I mean, you got a lot of people off your team.
Well,
Girard and Koss and...
Oh, yeah, it was Christian Koss. Yeah,
over the weekend. Get off my
team.
Well,
Christian Koss has got to... He's got to be the platoon second baseman until Matt Chapman gets back. And then Christian Koss probably will get off the team.
Yep.
Oh, the double plays with the bases loaded.
Right.
Twice.
Two of them. Yep.
And then we're out here kicking ground balls out there. What are we doing? This is after we... Right? This is when we went to the plate in Detroit. And we're like, oh, we got a big at bat. Okay, let's bunt. Organizational depth. Just not quite there yet.
Nope.
Not quite there yet. Anyway, I digress. I think, and this is the way I will say it, I think that there is a very fair chance that Jonathan Kuminga is on the team next year. But I don't think that's the Warriors option A. And I mean this from their perspective. I think that they think, because remember, I'm so stuck on what Bobby Marks said to us. If you sign Jonathan Kuminga, that's your offseason. That's it.
Yep.
And I know there's a lot of JK fans in town, but I also challenge any Warrior fan out there to just, that's it. They re-sign Jonathan Kuminga. Okay, let's play again. And now everybody, you're happy with the offseason? You think that makes you feel like you're going to go beat Houston and OKC and Minnesota. What'd they do to get better? Well, they brought everybody back. That's it. That's what they did. They brought back the guy that they're having a hard time finding a role for. I don't think that's what the Warriors want to do. They might do what you're suggesting because they have to.
Right.
But I think that there are complicated and layered deals that the Warriors would like to explore so that it's not a one-for-one and they've got to do the 50 cents on a dollar thing, but that there is a complex multi-team deal that gets Jonathan to a place where he can really grow as the potential guy or one of the potential guys, and the Warriors can do something that really makes them feel like they are following their mantra, maximize the remainder of Steph Curry's career. I can't imagine that they are comfortable with Jonathan representing their entire offseason. I can't even imagine how they'd be comfortable with that based on the way it's gone.
I agree with you, but I do think about it in terms of their ability to do something else, where their ability to do something else at the deadline is greater than their ability to do something now. Because if you take Kuminga in a sign and trade, and even if you package him with Moody, who's making 11.5, or Butters, my name's Buddy, who's making 9, you don't have a lot of...
My name is Buddy.
Sorry about that. I apologize, Butters, but if you like take those salaries...
I'm Batman.
Yeah, if you want to package Kuminga in a sign and trade with something, you're still like winding up with a middle of the road, middling player.
You don't know that. Well, I mean, it depends on what guys are making in that moment. And they might be at a certain moment in their, you know, in their arc and in their contract and all of those things. You know what I mean? Like, it gets weird sometimes. I don't want to keep fixating on this guy because Grandy and I have gone way too far with him. But like,
you guys did a whole show on him.
Yeah, Cam Johnson is somebody who is better than his salary. He's better than his salary. I don't know how many of those guys are out there, but he's better than his salary. And so, you know, is that someone that you can grab? Or let's talk about the Utah Jazz. They've got a bunch of young players, and therefore nobody's, other than Markkanen, nobody's maxed out at major dollar figures, but there are some guys there who could be helpful just because of the style that they play. I mean, if there was ever a Steve Kerr move to be made, it would be someone who is maybe not even quite as good as Jonathan, but he fits.
Right.
Like, that's the kind of move I could see the Warriors making, where they concede. Yeah. Like, okay, pay Jonathan 25 and we'll throw in something else. And sure, we'll take back $20 million in salary. And maybe it's only a $20 million player, and Jonathan's a $25 million player. But that $20 million player does what the Warriors need. Like, maybe he's tall or something like that. Could you be tall, right? That's what I really think has got to be their option A. Because if that's not their option A, if option A is just re-signing the guy, I don't know, after the experience they've been through, how A, they're not going to feel like they're overpaying him. B, he's not going to be nervous about the role that he's about to have. And C, they've got to get to work. Steve promised us they've got to get to work figuring out something they weren't able to figure out, which is how to inject that guy into Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry and not have everybody drive everybody crazy. Not easy to do.
Nope.
That's not what I would want to do in training camp if I were the Warriors.
Yeah, but at the same time, you also want to have, you know, your asset be able to command back in a trade what they're worth. And right now, you won't get that. Even if, you know, if you think Kuminga is a $25 million a year guy, and that's probably about where it'll land, 20, 25, whatever. So if you sign him for 25 and you trade him and you get $12.5 million back, that's going to feel like a loss almost no matter what you get back. Even if it is, like you're saying, a player who's not as good as Kuminga, but somebody who maybe fits better in that role. Because right now, Kuminga, if you bring back this entire team next year, Kuminga is your sixth man, your seventh man, whatever. He won't start. It'll be, you know, Pods and Steph. It'll be Draymond and Jimmy and, you know, fill in the blank center, whether it's TJD or Looney or whatever, if Looney comes back. And so your second unit will be JK. So could you find somebody who makes half as much and fits better for a year or two? Yeah, but if you trade Kuminga for that, for a short-term fix, I don't know if that's going to be something that you want to do.
I don't think it will feel great. And it absolutely has the potential to really blow up in your face, but we're maximizing the remainder of Steph Curry's career.
We are, but so
far... That's what they say they want to do.
So far, the deals you've done with your two timelines, your second timeline, Jordan Poole not blowing up in your face, and Wiseman not blowing up in your face. I hope he's able to come back and play basketball this year. So... like all your other two timeline guys, no one's blowing up in your face so far. This one might.
It could.
It could.
And I don't think that would make the Warriors hesitate at all. I don't think that would make them hesitate at all. You know, when Steve Kerr said a few weeks ago, like, man, when your stars are in their mid to late 30s, you don't trade all of your first round picks and pick swaps. And like, that'd be crazy with guys at that age. You know what he didn't say? He did not say, and you don't trade anybody who's 22 or 23. You don't do that. No, he didn't say that.
No?
He did not say that. All right. Bobby Marks was on with us 3 weeks ago today and specifically talked about Jonathan Kuminga's effect on the entire offseason. We'll let you hear that next. I would like to update the Ramona Shelburne planes, trains, and automobiles situation. And it appears that we are... ladies and gentlemen, back on track.
Let's go, Momo.
And I think that we are going to have Ramona in a half hour. In a half hour. Instead of live from Phoenix, she will be live from Denver. Planes, trains, and automobiles.
What?
Yes, live from Denver.
All right.
Southwest, layover, on her way back to Los Angeles. We're back in a half hour. Probably. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, here for your calls. When you hear Mike Dunleavy say, Jonathan Kuminga is the main priority before we go into free agency, in your brain, did you think Jonathan's on the team? Or did you think Jonathan's off the team? 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Just determined to get me aggregated, huh?
Yep. Yep.
You know what my Twitter feed will look like if I answer your questions?
On 95.7 The Game.
Momo! Yeah!
That's Ramona Shelburne.
Yeah, it is.
And I think she's going to be on with us at 4:15. She's texting us from the airplane.
From the airplane?
From the plane.
Okay.
Yeah, you know you can do that on certain flights.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of these texts on a plane. That was a movie, right? Samuel L. Jackson?
Yes, it was.
Man.
I mean, of all the movie scripts that come in front of you, like when you see just the title, like I don't even need to open up the first page. I'd have been like, really, dog? They're like, yeah, read this script. It's called Snakes on a Plane.
Awesome.
Ah.
I mean, yeah. Like,
how much did he make for that?
Well,
I want to know that.
And think about like In a World, like, you know, the movie phone guy. But you think about like plane flights. People are afraid of flying.
Yes.
And I get that. I'm married to somebody who is afraid of flying, even though like if you want to talk about like what's more dangerous, I don't know, driving your car or flying in a plane. It's driving your car by a million times. And then you add in a fear of flying with snakes on a plane. And I guess people are afraid of snakes. I'm not really afraid of snakes. My daughter, who's almost 3, she's afraid of spiders for no reason.
A lot of people don't like spiders.
A lot
of adults don't like spiders.
If you think about spiders, like they're out here helping you. They're eating like micro bugs, and
well,
they're out here doing things to help you.
I heard someone say this one time, and it really it's unsettling to people, so just little alert.
Okay.
This is unsettling to people.
No, I love this.
No, someone said you are like never, ever more than 6 inches from a spider at any time in your life ever.
Correct.
Never. If you think about it, they're in the floors. They're in the floors. They're in the walls.
Yeah, to the windows.
To the walls.
Tell the spiders,
you know,
yeah,
they might be under your couch, under your furniture. You are never more, and this, it really freaks people out when you talk about like, yeah, what about when I'm in bed? Yes.
Right.
When you're in bed, like you're never, ever more than 6 inches from a spider at any time.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's you and your partner, and you're not alone in the bed. Like, I'm not trying to make this like creepy, but like, you know, it's an overpopulation sensation when you're in the bed. So, whatever. Cha-ching! For the most part, spiders are more afraid of you than you are of them. But yeah, snakes on a plane, genius. And that's where, like, you get into movies like Sharknado. Like, okay, we've got a tornado full of sharks. Okay. I'm in. Like, yes. Yes. I'm here for it.
Stupid.
It's all so stupid, but it works.
Well, to that end,
yep.
I think I've told you this before, funniest thing in my life is when I ask someone, they go to a movie, and I say, how was it? And they're just like, it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
It just wasn't realistic.
That's
enough
right.
for me.
This is one of my favorite takes of yours.
Just like, I just couldn't buy it. I'm like, oh, really? But you like Spider-Man last week, right? You know the part where a human being puts on a costume and goes building to building by firing webs out of his wrist? That one didn't get you on the whole realistic front, right?
Right.
But you didn't believe the character in this family drama that you watched last night. Okay. Okay. If that's how you want to play it, do you.
Exactly. Like,
anyway.
Anyhow, if you take like 1,000 movies, 999 of them are like unbelievable. And the one that isn't, it's called The English Patient and you fell asleep.
That's true too.
Like the one movie that's not like to be disbelieved, it's a snoozer.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, no, it's true. Okay, so Ramona probably in about 25 minutes or so. Bobby Marks 3 weeks ago today said this to us.
It all depends on Kuminga. You know, it really comes down to he basically controls free agency in Golden State, because if they sign him to a contract and bring him back, then that's really it as far as what they can do in the offseason.
There you have it.
Yep.
If they sign him back this offseason, that's it. That's it. And it's funny because I would bet, this is just me guessing, I bet there are a lot of Warrior fans that really want Jonathan Kuminga to stay, but also would feel very unfulfilled if that was the offseason. That's it.
Right.
What'd you guys do? We brought him back. The guy that you didn't play in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what we did. Do you like it?
It's funny you say that because...
What do you think of the cake we made?
Right. You made, you made a cake with whatever was in the fridge, and I mean, you found some flour and some eggs and whatever, but the cake you made is the cake you've already had, and you were hoping for like a triple-decker wedding cake with, you know, frosting and some fruit and whatever, but it's funny you said that, Mark, because honestly, hearing Bobby Marks say that, if that is all you do, bring back Kuminga, and that's your off-season... Like fans, even the fans who love Kuminga would be unsatisfied.
I think so.
Or, I mean, the other thing is, okay, you sign and trade Kuminga and you bring in whatever 15 or 20 million worth of other player, and the people who love Kuminga would also be unsatisfied.
Totally.
So, I mean, what are we talking about here?
I think what you mentioned as the likelihood to me is actually sort of the fallback option. When Dunleavy says, like, look, we know who Jonathan is, and we feel comfortable with what he can do for the organization, to me, they're setting up for the possibility that they do sign and keep, but sign and keep still keeps on the table the possibility of a trade later down the road. And so what they would have to do, if they can't find something that works this offseason, you have to find a deal that both makes you comfortable right now in terms of the money, but also... you think is going to be attractive on the market in trade talks down the road. And then you can sort of like serve both masters if you want, in a way where it's like, okay, we've got him and he's a trade asset. And now we go to work with him and let's see if we can get this to all fit a little bit better. And we'll force that for the beginning of the season. And maybe that'll also allow him to put up some numbers, and numbers are numbers. And then once you put up those numbers, then maybe another team is going to be kind of wooed by him. Or maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll work great. And then you don't want to get rid of Jonathan Kuminga. So you do, in theory, buy a little bit of time. But That's my thought. When I hear Mike Dunleavy say, we're going to be aggressive, we're going to be in the mix, and we want to figure this Jonathan thing out fast. What I hear him saying, and it's just my ear and my brain, what I hear him saying is, option number, we need to find out kind of what he thinks he's worth and what we think he's worth, and then we need to dive immediately into, let's find out what the league thinks. Are there any opportunities for us to get better by including Jonathan and a salary in a deal? And if there are, that's option one.
Yep.
If not, then we'll grit our teeth and we'll do this and then figure it out kind of down the road, but work with him. Maybe he blossoms more. Maybe he fits better. Maybe not. And maybe we trade him later. But I think that's option two. Option three is, screw it. He can score, so we're going to keep him long term. And then option four is letting him go for nothing.
Right.
That's just a no. That's not possible.
It's not possible, I think, right now. And this is where, if you're Jonathan Kuminga, you're kind of like shaking your head, because this year you've got one team with money, really real money to spend. And next year, when he won't be a free agent, that's where, salary cap wise, it looks like there'll be at least 10 teams with money to spend. So JK kind of got caught where, you know, this is the year where there aren't a lot of teams that can spend, and these teams are still trying to figure out the second apron, and, you know, teams that are above it are trying to get below it. And you look at what Phoenix did, getting rid of KD, and they brought in, you know, Jalen Green, a younger player with a lesser salary and all the rest of it. So for Kuminga, he's kind of caught in the wrong place, wrong time thing. And if you're the Warriors, you're like, okay, sit back and wait. Sit back and wait and see if anybody's going to throw more money at Kuminga than you want to spend. And I do think that the Warriors have a number in mind where they're probably thinking, I don't even know what the number would be for them, but if I'm the Warriors, I'm thinking, if it's, you know, 4 years and $100 million, then, you know, $25 million a year, I got to think about that. But if it's less than that, we can match that, and then we can trade him when we want.
Yeah, it's a fascinating play based on also understanding what the rest of the league is offering for him, because I think there's a strong possibility that if he's not involved in a trade and you're just negotiating with Jonathan, you're negotiating against yourself, which leaves the Warriors almost like you can pay him whatever they want. But then Jonathan doesn't need to say yes to that. And so I could see it getting real, real tricky, but you know, that's why people are over there doing what they're doing. They're good at it, and that's their job. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.